Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, August 5th, 2014. And with me today, I have the uber-intelligent Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I'm well, and I've had my ginseng tea, so hopefully the uber will be added to my intelligence in sufficient time.
Well, we can live in hope, yeah. and the always exciting Kelly Gaumont. Hey, Kelly.
Hi, Jeff.
It's great to have both you guys here today. And I thought that we should start off with a topic that we all know something about, and hopefully Apple will soon too. And that's social media. And where I'm going with this is Apple hired Musa Tariq, and he worked for Nike for several years, and he handled their social media, and he's the guy that brought a lot of their marketing campaigns in-house as opposed to letting ad agencies handle that. Then before that, he worked for Burberry, which should sound familiar because that's where Angela Ahrendts came from, and he worked for her there. Yeah, and he handled a lot of their marketing there too, and he's the guy that really got Burberry involved in Twitter, and he's the guy that created the Twitter campaign they had where they would introduce or preview new fashion lines through Twitter right before they would show up at the fashion shows that they were hosting. So this guy had figured out how to use Twitter a long time ago. And now he works for Apple. Excuse me. And I'm curious what you guys think about Apple bringing him on board.
This sounds awesome. Apple doesn't have much of an official social media presence. They have a couple of unofficial in that, like, it's Phil Schiller's Twitter account, the end, or it's Tim Cook's Twitter account, the end. And those are right now not very interesting accounts. If you look around a little bit on Twitter or app.net, you can find some fake Twitter accounts that are way funner to follow than what the actual ones are. And they say right on them that they made it up and it's not really Tim Cook or it's not really Johnny Ive or whoever it is. And those are way more interesting and, you know, and it's not like people aren't talking about Apple or trying to talk to Apple through social media channels. So hiring Musa Tariq, I think, is going to be great for Apple because I think they're really at the point where they need to put a more social media minded public face on the company. We've seen them opening up in some other ways, and now it's time to see them do some other stuff that is going to be a little bit more interactive, and I think he might be the guy to do it.
Yeah, I'm thinking he's the guy to do it also. And I've always been surprised, and at the same time not, because of the way Apple handles their communication, but I've always been surprised that Apple really didn't have a social media presence. They do have their iTunes account, and I believe they have one for iTunes Movies also. And so they have a couple accounts where they're just kind of putting information out. And at least with iTunes, mm-hmm. they're doing some of the artist interview things that run through Twitter.
And they do have a YouTube channel now where some of the advertisements and things are going. And like the developer video from WWDC this year, they put some of that stuff up on their YouTube channel for anyone to look at and link to. And that was the first thing that was surprising to me, was that they were finally getting around to that, because it seems like they were sort of late to the party in being a company with a YouTube channel. But I'm glad to see that more of this is hopefully taking root and that they're taking it seriously. They hired somebody who specializes in this, which leads me to believe he's going to continue to do so in Cupertino like he did here. So I'm sort of hoping that this will sort of ramp that up a little bit more, and I can't wait to see where it goes.
Yeah, he's a young guy too, right? I mean, he graduated from school, from the London School of Economics in 2005, right? So,
yeah.
And I mean, his career's not even 10 years old yet. But that in and of itself may very well be part of the reason that he's so good at this, because he's grown up with it. That's great. I think it's good for Apple. You know, it's,
yeah.
I expect things better than ping out of him. So.
Wow, but Dave.
Seriously,
that's such a
right?
low bar to set.
Well, yeah, but that's where the bar is set, right? That's
I know.
It.
I know. That's
as good as it's ever gotten from Apple, and good is sort of a weird word to use there, but you know.
Yeah.
So he can only do better things. And my guess, I mean, the management at Apple has not proven to be stupid in most cases. So I believe they've hired him to let him do those very things. So, yeah, no, I think it's great. It's a new guy.
I'm Ping, sorry. I'm still back at better than Bing. Oh, my God. Yeah. Bing. Okay.
But, you know, this is part of the new regime there. It's
absolutely
good.
And another nice thing about this for me is that it's kind of fun to see 2.0 emerging out of Apple, you know, or 3.0 if you want to think about, you know, Steve coming back as 2.0, then this would be 3.0. And I really like the idea that this is still undeniably Apple, and whatever Tariq ends up doing is going to end up being indelibly Apple flavored, and it's really interesting to me to watch them evolve. It's still going to be Apple, but it's going to be a very different Apple than it was 5 years ago, and I think that's awesome. It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
What's interesting is, you know, he was a director of social media most recently at Nike and at Burberry. Prior to that, he was digital marketing and was at J. Walter Thompson, so also doing that sort of thing there. Interesting to see that his title here does not have social media in it. He is the digital marketing director, right? Mm-hmm. So,
right. And retail is thrown in there somewhere also.
And retail is thrown in, right? So that's an interesting thing. But my guess is hopefully they'll leverage his social media history as part of that.
You know, I would be stunned if they didn't, because
right.
Apple doesn't right. hire people who coincidentally can do something.
Correct. Correct. Or if they do, they leverage it anyway. So
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, and you can see the same thing with what we haven't seen yet officially through the iWatch, but we're getting a taste of it through HealthKit. They hired all these health and fitness and medical people. And that just wasn't on a whim. They had a master plan. And knowing that Apple doesn't do things by chance, I just have to believe that Musa is part of a master plan that includes social media.
And I betrayed my own age and history in this industry by calling one of his former companies J. Walter Thompson. For almost 10 years, it has been called JWT. And certainly since he worked there. Which is interesting. I don't know how that's interesting, but it's interesting. So there you go.
We can edit that part out so people think you're not.
It's interesting to the kids on your lawn.
That's right. Yeah. 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 Kids, ask your parents who J. Walter Thompson was.
Yeah. And they'll say, I don't know. Go Google it.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Didn't he run the CIA?
And was very a snappy nice. Dresser. Yeah.
We have some PSAs to talk about, right, Jeff?
We do. It's like you read my mind.
Okay. That was actually really funny. Ask your parents about that too, because that's really funny.
Yeah. I can't wait for your emails. Okay, so this morning I wrote a piece about how the private beta for developers of OS 10, 10.9.5 has a huge change to Gatekeeper. And Gatekeeper is a feature that Apple introduced in 10.7. Does that sound right? 10.7-ish? That looks to see if there's a legit certificate that's been approved by Apple embedded into the app so that they know it's legit and a safe application. If not, then you get a dialog on your screen when you try and launch the app telling you that this isn't a trusted application. And if you want to still launch it, then you have to go through a few steps to make that happen.
More specifically, just for clarity, it tells you that this application doesn't come from a trusted developer. It does not speak to the application's trustworthiness. It speaks to the developer of the application's trustworthiness.
That's an important distinction.
I think so. I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, so this change that Apple is making and the change that we will all see when 10.9.5 is officially released as an update, I'm assuming sometime this summer, is that apps that don't have a signature that or certificate that's been updated to be compliant with this new version of Gatekeeper will appear as if they will give you the same "this developer may not be trustworthy" dialogue that you would get from apps that don't even have a signature in them. Mm-hmm. And so this is something that people need to know about, because it doesn't mean that the apps that you're using suddenly are not safe and not trustworthy. It just means that in that case, the developer has not released an update that is compliant with version 2 of Gatekeeper.
Yeah, they bake a signature into the app. The developer creates a key on their end and then sends it to Apple, and Apple processes it based on the information that they've previously gotten from the developer. Basically, what they're saying is, we know who this developer is. That's the level of trustworthiness that Apple is providing. And also that we haven't yanked their ability to submit apps, or which Apple could do at any point in time. So if you have the app on your system, Apple could say, oh, we're going to yank that certificate because that developer or even that specific app from that developer is bad. And mm-hmm. and then you'd get a notice. So all it means, as you said, Jeff, is that this app doesn't have an updated certificate for the new OS. And it's trivial for a developer to update, because all they need to do is bake a new signature in and release an update through the store, and now you have that app with the signature. But there are a lot of times where it's not that simple, because your app might be doing something and using a previously acceptable framework or API that now is no longer acceptable, though it works just fine, and the developer can't actually release an update, because if they do, then their app is going to be bounced because of the fact that they're, you know, not they haven't completely rewritten their app to fit mm-hmm. whatever Apple's new paradigm is. So you may well see some very, very trustworthy and reliable apps that don't get this for that very reason. We've seen it in the past.
And there are apps that have no certificate baked in at all for various reasons. It could be an indie developer who has developed a little utility who maybe doesn't know anything about this, because as a developer, they leave Gatekeeper off, and so they don't ever see the warning, so it never occurs to them that it's a problem. It could be and that doesn't mean that the software they're making is malicious. So this is more for this PSA, it's a lot of awareness. It's make sure you know where your stuff is coming from and make sure you're getting it from the source. So if I wrote a utility to do something in particular, make sure that you're only downloading it from my website. Don't download it from something else where, you know, previousversion.com or whatever. Like, make sure you're getting it from the source, and make sure that when you look at it, it looks like the app that you remember. You know, if you download an update, that you get the update that you expect, that the app is still the same application it was before. And you know, and there, because I do have some things that are not signed on my computer, but I know what they are. I know where they came from. I know I got them from the source. And I know that they are legitimate applications in their own right. And so sometimes it's just an awareness issue. I know I'm generally the exception to the rule, but a lot of it is going to come from awareness, just like everything else. Like, so much of virus protection and spam protection and security practice is awareness. Make sure you know what you have and make sure you know where it came from.
And to put a cap on that, if you had only ever downloaded things from Apple's Mac App Store, you would never have encountered this. And yet now you might, even yes. with those apps that you got from the App Store. I think that's the important distinction here. And you can continue trusting those apps.
Sure.
There's no reason not to. Yep.
Okay, but what you can't trust malware developers. So our other little PSA stems from a problem that a company called Synology is dealing with. They create network-attached storage devices, and the software that's running those devices has been hacked and is being targeted with what's called ransomware, meaning the attackers have figured out how they can inject their code into your NAS remotely and then encrypt your files and then demand money for the key to unlock those files, which is a really crappy thing to do. And it really sucks for Synology, because right now they're the company that everyone's looking at saying, oh, wow, their devices aren't secure because of this malware thing. Mm-hmm. And so if you're running a Synology device that doesn't have the latest software, which I believe is version 5, then you better get updated right away, because it's only a matter of time and bad luck before you get hit.
Well, not necessarily. Synology, every NAS that I know of, NAS being a network-attached storage device, every NAS that I know of runs some embedded version of Unix, usually Linux, inside it, which isn't all that different from what runs on your Mac, right? So this could happen to your Mac too, in theory, if someone had access to the command line and could then get administrator access or root access to your Mac, then they could install whatever software they want. They don't need to worry about Gatekeeper because it's not happening inside the Mac's UI. They could run whatever packages they want, and they could encrypt your data. That's all that's happening, and I don't mean to make light of this, but that's all that's happening on this Synology is someone has access, has figured out a way to get access to an unprotected Synology disk station. So there's some hole in DSM 4.3 that we don't believe exists in DSM 5 because we haven't heard of any machines running 5. And DSM updates are free for everyone that owns Synology, so you have no excuse. And DSM 5 has been out since the beginning of the year, so you have no excuse for not having updated your disk station. Or if you do, then you're well aware of what risks you're inheriting. But again, if you have a disk station and it's in your house and there is no access to it from the outside world, you will not have a problem unless you let these crypto locker hackers in by the front door and let them plug into your Ethernet or connect to your Wi-Fi network. So what's happening is a lot of people with disk stations, and this is true of any NAS, good NASs and things that I think are truly NAS devices allow you to install apps on them. A lot of these apps will come from the manufacturer of the NAS, but some come from third parties. Things that allow you to, say, serve your music and videos to your Mac and iPhone even when you're not in the house. And that's the kind – like you can – with a Synology NAS, you can roll your own iTunes Match-esque thing where no matter where you are, as long as you have access to the internet, you can stream music from your NAS device directly to your phone. This is cool. You can do it with movies too. You can sync them so you can watch them on the plane. All this great stuff. And that's one of the cool things about having a NAS. You've got this big bundle of storage, and then you can do things with the data that's on it. But in order for you to be able to connect and do this iTunes Match-esque streaming thing, you need to poke holes in your router or firewall and allow inbound access from anywhere on the internet to your NAS. And that's where I think this comes from. And I don't think it's the access for your music, because that doesn't really have root access or anything like that. My guess is it's access to the command line and access to the administrator interface from remote.
And it's probably because the default administrator password didn't get changed, which is a common way that people have been able to hack into people's routers.
I would
for a
guess
long
that.
Time. So
yeah, exactly. So
that's a big lock you can start with. Go change the admin password on your NAS if you have one.
And yeah, that's great. And also B, don't allow unfettered access to your NAS's admin page from the internet. When do you need to administer your NAS from a coffee shop, right? And if you do, maybe you should set up some sort of VPN, which, by the way, your NAS can also act as a VPN server, right? And then you can do so think about what you're allowing access to and only allow those things that you absolutely need, like streaming audio or streaming video. Okay, great. You know, those are the things I'm going to allow. The rest of the stuff, I can do it when I'm home or, if necessary, VPN in and add an additional layer of security.
Amen.
Awesome. That's fantastic advice.
But don't think this is just going to affect that if you have like a QNAP or a Drobo or whatever, don't feel like you are safe. These types of attacks can happen to anything that you allow access to from the internet.
Not if, but when.
You got it.
All right. And on that happy note, we are out of time. Thank you so much, both of you, for coming on and offering so much awesome information. You guys rock.
Let's go.